Okay, it's going to be a fairly short introduction, but for those of you who don't know Bob, and I think quite a few of you have met him over the years, he's been we've been honored to have him speak to us before here at this event, and he's spoken at NAB, presented a bunch of papers there. And Shively Labs has been around since 1964. That's the year that I graduated from high school, believe it or not. And Bob joined them before their 10th anniversary in 1973, and he's been with them ever since. And they've done a lot of really great things in, for the broadcast industry and continue to do so. And without further introduction, no stranger to our annual gathering, Bob Charette.
Thanks a lot. I really wasn't scheduled to do this, so I'm not really prepared. I'm a little bit nervous, so bear with me. And it was a surprise, but a good surprise. It's always a pleasure being here. Linda puts on such a nice show, and well, she's got a lot of help. And we've known Linda a long time, and she does a great job. Okay. And I borrowed Terry's machine here, and now I get messed up. There we go. Okay. Do that. There we go. The good news is minus 10 dB is here. Everybody's wanted it, and it's a great thing. Well, the bad news is 10 dB is here. So what I'm going to do this morning, this afternoon, is I'm going to talk about kind of the what-ifs. If you've been on the air, I did a talk down in Alabama a couple of years ago, and there were some broadcasters down there that were angry because they had spent their, you know, $125,000, $200,000 to put on the minus 20 dB injection. And it was not doing anything for them, and they were angry about it. And at the time, 10 dB was kind of coming along, and they were even more angry at that because they've already spent their $150,000, and they said, we're going to have to spend another $150,000. So they just were not happy people. Anyway, I threw this up. Actually, I forgot to take it off. We put an antenna on Mount Mansfield a few years ago in October, and you can see that there's a climber down there just getting out of the way. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they said, well, we'll finish in the morning. When they went back in the morning, that's what they found. And needless to say, they didn't really finish it up that day. I guess you could almost say this is one of the war stories. But seeing how I can't participate in the grand prize, I won't show it then. Quiz. What is 0 dBm? There you go, 1 milliwatt. As my brother says for my talk, dBm means it's dull, it's boring, and it's monotonous, but you have to pay attention. Engineer humor, I guess, that's great. If you're on the air today, and you're just a single station, and you have, or whether you're lucky enough to have it, or whatever, but if you have a transmitter doing both analog and digital, and it's called low-level combining, then it's kind of simple. You're going to call the transmitter manufacturer, and you're going to get a hold of a nice either technical person or a salesman, and he's going to tell you that you can either upgrade your existing transmitters, because some can, or he's going to tell you that you have to buy new. But irregardless of which way you go with the transmitter, you've made him a happy guy, because you're going to spend money with him. And if you're going to do that with your transmitter, you just have to check with your transmitter manufacturer, coax lines, stuff like that, because there are considerations to peak power rating of the analog-digital combination. And I'll get into that at the end of the paper here, but it's something you're going to have to think about, is what are the peak power ratings going to do? So there are a lot of people that went in for high-level combining. They have two separate transmitters. They got one analog, one digital, and they're using what's called a 10 dB injector or a 10 dB coupler. If you try to increase your digital output or digital input, how do you want to say it, increase your ERP in digital, if you've got one of these 10 dB couplers, and I'll get into that in just a minute, but it is going to be 1 or 2 dB is about all you're going to get, and it's marginal at that. So here's a diagram of your basic high-level injector. We have a digital, we have an analog digital 10 dB coupler. It's got that, you lose 10% of your analog, 90% of your digital. You've got a 20 kilowatt analog going up the pipe, 200 watts going up the pipe, and you're running 22 kilowatts, and you've probably all seen this diagram many times. Well, let's take it up 2 dB and see what happens to the performance or the characteristics of your transmitter. So if we increase the digital power by 2 dB, it takes you from 200 watts to 320 watts. Well, in order to do that, you have to increase your digital transmitter by up to 3.2 kilowatts, because that's a 10 dB coupler. I guess if you're used to coupling or you look at directional couplers, most transmitters have directional couplers on them. And a lot of them are like 40 dB couplers. So you put 20 kilowatts through the line, you get two watts out of the line. Life is wonderful. Well, in this case here, we want to put, you know, we want to put 320 watts into the pipe. In order to do that, you have to make this monster. The analogy is if you ever looked at a torque converter, you might spin the torque converter 10 times to get the small wheel to run once in rotation. Well, if you grab that wheel once to turn this thing to rotate it 10 times, you basically strip all the gears. Well, same thing here. You can't take a 40 dB coupler and make it inject energy into the main line. So we just make this very, very big. This is 3 feet long. The internal systems are 2 inches wide and 1/4 inch thick. So it's a very robust mechanical system. So we're looking at 3.2 kilowatts to get 320 watts out. And what happens is your energy into your dummy load now goes up to 2.88 kilowatts. So your dummy load is probably okay. So that's, how do I say, in general, you could go up 2 dB. You need more energy in your digital, but it's possible to do that. Let's go to the 10 dB just to see what happens. Well, in order to get 2 kilowatts up the pipe, because that's a 10 dB coupler, you need 20 kilowatts of digital. And that means you're going to put 18 kilowatts into the dummy load. So that is just not a practical thing to do. It's just not going to happen. Well, say you wanted to increase it more than 2 dB, and the way to do that is to replace, rebuild, whatever you're going to do, and change it to a 7 dB coupler. Now, there are 6 dB couplers out there. I've never made a 4 dB, because that would get you to the 14 dB injection, but I took a shot at a 3 dB coupler. So we're going to go from 200 watts here, we're going to go to 400 watts. Well, if that's a 7 dB coupler to get 400 watts, you don't have to do anything with your digital transmitter. We've taken care of that in the directional coupler. But what does happen is that the loss here to the dummy load now changes. So with that change, you have to increase your analog transmitter now from 2,200, 22 kilowatts to 24, and you're going to dissipate 4 kilowatts in this dummy load. So if your original dummy load is like a 10-kilowatt dummy load, you're probably okay with it. What else do I got here? I think that's about it. Oh, and because you're using a 7 dB coupler, your dummy load actually goes down for your digital. So as a 7 dB coupler, this is not a bad compromise to get 400 watts instead of 200 watts out, but your analog transmitter has to have the capability of putting out just a little more transmitter power. Okay, that went quick. The next way is, the next kind of combining, if you will, high power, is mid-level combining. Now, with mid-level combining, the key here is you take two basic analog transmitters and you get them perfectly matched so that virtually no energy goes into this dummy load. And we've all done that at one time or another, taken a pair of transmitters and tweaked the phase so you get virtually no energy out here and you get all the energy going up the stick. Well, what Harris did, I'm trying to, the fellow down in Florida, Steve, yeah, that's it, I'm sorry, came up with this idea that if you took this, one of these analog transmitters and pumped it up so it actually put out twice as much digital as it needed, then you could lose half of that digital in the dummy load because it really didn't mean much. It's 800, 400 watts here, and you end up with a 20 dB injection system, and life is wonderful, and you haven't really, you've spent some money, but it allowed some of the high-powered stations to get up in power. Well, if we went to 14 dB, which is a pretty good digital increase, now what you're doing here is this digital analog digital transmitter has to be modified to get you 3,200 watts because you're going to get 1,600 here and 1,600 here, and this dummy load may have to be a little bit bigger, but basically you can do this with not a whole lot of modification. And you probably have 3-inch line here, so you've got 40 kilowatts and 16, so you have to think about how close are you in margin on your 3-inch line. And that's a 14 dB injection. Well, if we went to, what did I do? Yes, we went to 20, I missed a slide. We're back to it, there we go. Down to 10 dB, which is the full max, then this here has to actually go up to 8 kilowatts, it's pretty high, this dummy load is high, and now what you're looking at is 44 kilowatts of power, and not many people want to put 44 kilowatts into a 3-inch line. So there are limitations. That's what I show here. If you have existing hardware, there are some changes you could make, but you have to be careful of how you make them and look into it before you start. Okay. If you have two separate transmitters and you have two antennas, say you have interleaved antennas, it'd be something like this. You've got a standard analog transmission line. You could have three bays here. I put it as three just as easy demonstration. Some of the first antennas we did were 8 bays with 3 bays interleaved in here. We've done 8 bays with 7 bays interleaved and things like that. So there are several combinations of interleaving that's been used. When you interleaved antennas, you have a coupling factor between the analog and digital antenna systems. And it depends on a whole lot of stuff as to what this number is going to be. If you kind of average stuff, some people say I got 30, some I got 40, some I got 20, whatever. But I use 26 dB of coupling between the two. What's going to happen here is the analog energy is going to come out here, go into here, 26 dB down, and it's going to end up here at 50 watts. Well, if it's 50 watts there, you actually have to take and say, I can't afford 50 watts to come into a 200-watt digital transmitter, so I put a circulator is a circulator with a dummy load. This particular one was made by EMR out of Phoenix, Arizona, Bill Liske and the guys down there. out there down over from here. And they make a real nice 500-watt load isolator. And if you've got a system working like this, life is wonderful and nobody cares. Then there's also energy that goes from the digital up to the analog, and when 26 dB down with 200 watts in, you get a half a watt going into the analog transmitter, and a half a watt into an analog transmitter is not going to give you any grief that I'm aware of. If you're going to go up in power to 2 kilowatts, which is your whole 10 dB increase, then the first thing that has to happen is you have to go to a bigger isolator. This one here is made by Channel Microwave. It's running it. I believe they take 2,500 watts easy. I think they put fins on them now, and you can go to 3,000 or 3,500 watts, I believe. But that's basically the only change that you have to do in the digital side. When you go to that 2,000 watts, you're going to increase the reflected power here coming back to the analog transmitter at about 5 watts. I don't know enough about analog transmitters. I understand there was a talk this morning about how the sidebands of digital were interfering with analog. That I'd have to ask that person how that came along. One of the problems you might run into is if the isolation here, say, goes to 20 dB, then that goes to 20 watts, and then you are in a problem because 20 watts is going to cause noise into that analog transmitter. I think I've covered everything there. Oh, the other thing that's happened is in a lot of cases, these cables were used, you know, you put an interleave system up that's only going to take 200 watts, so you use RG213, you might use LMR400, and it's only rated for like 1,000 watts. So there are cases where there are interleaved antennas up there where the actual coax won't handle the extra digital power. So you need to find out from your antenna manufacturer what was actually put on the tower or in the interleave harnesses to make that happen. Kind of the same thing as an interleaved antenna system is a dual input antenna because you're putting two runs of coax up the line. Here's a four-station system. Dual inputs into the antenna. Minus 20 dB, you've got basically small isolators, as was in the interleaved system. Very similar to the interleaved system, I think. In this case here, you'll have combined system where all the energy is heading down the combiner, and they'll take and put all the analogs in one and all the digitals in the other. A combination of that is you put the analog two stations up in one direction, two stations up in the other direction, and then the digitals kind of go back and forth. So there's only digital energy going across this union, and actually you get a higher powered system than if you try to do analog in one and digital in the other. If you go to a 10 dB system, you have to be aware of the peak power rating systems and what you have here. We have a system in Portland, Oregon. It's the KGON site. I believe there are 12 stations running there, fairly high-powered 12 stations. They're running a 9-inch transmission line up the tower, and when they asked us what the combiner would take for power, it was not the combiner that was the weak link or the antenna. It was the 9-inch transmission line. So the 12 high-powered stations took the 9-inch line over its peak value. So you have to be very careful when you're doing multi-channel systems. Let's see. Separate antennas. If you have two separate antennas now and that digital antenna can handle the power, you just turn it up. So you're actually in a good position. You just have to increase the power of your digital transmitter. peak power. Part of this, of what you do with your system, involves calculating peak power. So I thought I'd do a couple of calculations for you. The equation for calculating peak power is the square root, the sum of the square roots of all the transmitter power squared. It's fairly straightforward. If you have common transmitters that are all the same size, then you can reduce your equation down to the number of stations squared times the power of each of the station. So as you can see there, if you put 430 kilowatt transmitters, you get a peak power rating of 480 kilowatts. And if you've got 430s, you're probably running a 6-inch line, and there's no problems. If you look at the equation, it actually says that you need to double that number. You need to put a factor of 2 out here. 2 times this will give you a 960 kilowatt peak. Well, in order for that peak to happen, all of the stations have to hit the same pulse, the same time, everything's got to be the same thing in order to get that big peak. And I never did the statistics on a 4-station, but we did statistical analysis on an 8-station. On an 8-station system, the statistical analysis says that you're only going to hit that peak 3 times, or 3 stations. So you really don't use that double feature in there, because it's not a real-world situation. So let's look at some peak numbers using the minus 20 dB injection. If you look at the average digital, so you've got two 30 kilowatt stations with two 300 watt digital stations, and you come out with 142 kilowatts of peak energy. Well, we kind of know that for the digital, the peak to average voltage is 5.5 dB. Everybody rounds it up to 6, so it's a factor of 4. So if we go back to the two 30 kilowatt stations, now you're going to, let me go back one, there we go. Now we're going to take the 30 kilowatts plus 1.2. So if you're looking at a couple of stations, 30 kilowatt stations, instead of being a peak of 142, it's 173, which is not that much higher. Like I say, you're going to run with 230s, you're going to run 4-inch line. The peak power rating of 4-inch line is up and around a megawatt, something like that, so it's no big deal. If you go to your 10 dB injection, then these numbers go up by 10 dB. So instead of 1.2, if we said, well, we're 0.300 watts here, 10 dB would bring you up to 3 kilowatts. 4 times 3 kilowatts is 12 kilowatts. So if you're looking at a 10 dB system, now you're looking at 320 kilowatts peak, which is over twice what it would be if you're running it at the minus 20 dB level injection. So if we take a look at, say, 4 30 kilowatt transmitters, we're going to be looking at the equation for 430s plus their standard digital components for a peak power level of 700 kilowatts. If you go to 10 dB injection, then no numbers now go to 1300 kilowatts. Well, let the answer go out. If you use that double factor, then you're way over. And let's see if I can hit, there you go. Quiz, what is the peak power rating of 6-inch line? 15 kilowatts, 1,500 kilowatts, which means that if you have a 4-station system and you're running 6-inch line up the tower, you now probably can't. And if you have, like we said, I've got a 12-station system, they've got a 9-inch line, and they can't go to 10 dB because of the peak power rating in the system. Questions? How much time did I use? Not bad. 30 minutes. Any questions?
Actually, I can see a potential for all the stations to be carrying the same program at the same time. Like around here, when you have weather warnings and they're all breaking in with the National Weather Service or a presidential emergency.
Well, I might, yeah, something like that. But again, that would be some kind of a statistical number, and I'm not very good at statistics. Anybody else? There's a question up here.
Okay, on the interleaved antennas,
yeah.
Your 26 dB of isolation. Mm-hmm. Now, are you counting on, say, left-hand circular for one set of bays and right-hand for the other to get that kind of, or is it they all the same polarization?
Normally, it's reversed, right on one, left on the other. And what I've found is if you do that, it gets you about 3 or 4 dB additional isolation. There's not a lot, but when you're talking in the 20 dB range, 3 to 4 dB is a lot of isolation increase.
Okay. One other question. You were talking about the incidence of all of these digital carriers coming up as ones all simultaneously. Well, gosh, broadcasting runs 24/7. Isn't it possible that on a several times a day at least that you're going to come up to this maximum voltage level? And then, you know, all it takes is a microsecond for an arc over.
Yeah, how do I say this? Not doing the actual calculation for the statistical information, but it's, and I didn't know about it until I started to research it, but it comes out, like I said, with an 8-station system, you're only going to get those peaks to hit on 3 stations at any one time. So, if you could, as the gentleman just said, maybe if they're all broadcasting in the exact same format, the exact same modulation, maybe that can happen. If it does, if that's what you're going to prepare for, in a lot of cases, then your equipment, how do I say this? If you use that double factor, then most of the hardware that you have on a system, you're going to have to at least double what the size is now. So if you have 1 6-inch line, you're going to have to go to 2 6-inch lines and do some kind of combining up the tower. So we just haven't seen that kind of peak power values hitting it all at the same time. And I don't think we've seen and there are many multi-station systems out there that have not had failures because of that. So I just have to kind of go back to the statistics that say it's probably not going to happen. You had a question up there. Yes.
You're, of course, saying that they're operating these transmitter systems into what can only be described as a perfect world. How do you design for, or what do you counsel your customers to put in as factors regarding high VSWR? Because that certainly has an effect on the operation of the entire system one way or the other, especially when you consider a lightning strike will take you out. VSWR may be massive for a moment, but that may be enough to blow your system out of the water. We had a lightning strike that took out one of the bays of our antenna for about 6 weeks until we could get it replaced. And this caused us a lot of grief with a lot of things. And we were only operating with 1% injection. Can you answer that?
Well, say you're one state, you're a single station, and you're running, I'm going to guess you ran 20 kilowatt transmitters or something bigger. You're running a...
We're running a 30. We have a 30 kilowatt analog, and we're running a 5 kilowatt digital. We're cut back to 2,500.
Sure. So you're only running IC. Is that Jeff back there? Help Jeff. Or he's got another question. I think what you're going to find, if you do the peak numbers for a single station, the digital really doesn't take you over the line. I mean, you've got a 30 kilowatt transmitter. You're probably running 3-inch transmission line or some kind of some kind of flex. And I don't remember the exact number, but I think the peak power rating of a 3-inch flex line is somewhere around 500. Well, it's rigid 3-inch line.
Yeah, we're running rigid, not...
Yeah, so you're running rigid 3-inch line, which is rated, depending on who you talk with, on with no standing wave at about 50 kilowatts. So you dropped it back, so you got about a 1.1, 1.15. It's rated for 40 kilowatts. And the peak voltage break or peak power breakdown of that 3-inch line is somewhere around, I think, a half a megawatt in that 500 kilowatt range. So when you're running just a 30 kilowatt box and a 300 watt digital into the transmission line, your peak power rating is just not that high. Now, if you actually took a lightning hit, and the only way I can describe this is we had an antenna on Cape Cod that was on a 5-foot tower that was 500 feet tall, and it got hit by lightning, and it took everything out from the beacon down through the AC power line and broke all the breakers in the box at the station. And when we got there, about a week later, the mailman came by. He said, "What are you guys doing, fixing this?" And we said, "Yeah." And he said it was the prettiest blue glow that he saw for 5 minutes when that tower got hit by lightning. So if you get hit by lightning at your site like that with a one station, I would have to say it's basically lightning hit, not having anything to do with the fact that you're running any digital at all. I just don't think it's there. I don't think you have that kind of power level to do that kind of damage.
Our reflected power off of the analog was 700 watts.
Well, see, 700 watts out of 30 kilowatts, that would be 20 dB would be 300 watts. So that's a 1.2, so that's 20, 17. That's about a 1.3-to-1 standing wave in that region, which is a little bit high, but that's 20 in reflected power, that's 17 dB or something like that. So 17 dB, call it, that's three. That's only 700 watts. So still, you've got 700 watts plus 30 kilowatts plus 300 watts. I still don't think you can get the peaks up there to fry that line. I think it was the lightning bolt itself, the lightning hit itself that got you. Did you have a question, Jeff?
Yeah, Bob, just a comment on the statistics of peak power.
There we go.
Put it all add up. Okay, so first thing is the PAR, the peak-to-average ratio of the HD carriers, is independent of modulation. So it doesn't really have anything to do with whether the modulations are lined up or not. The second thing is that if you have multiple stations, they're all operating on different frequencies. So you're going to continuously have beating between those three or four or however many frequencies. They're all non-synchronous. So I think statistically the peaks will occur frequently, very frequently, like all the time. So you really need to design the system to withstand the peak voltages. It's more a peak voltage issue than an RMS power issue, a heating issue. It's a voltage breakdown issue.
Well, let me ask you a question then. Then it's in that equation where you do develop, it's the sum of the square root squared. Do you always use a 2x factor there, or do you normally leave that off?
I'm not sure about that. I haven't gone through these numbers myself in terms of actual calculation of the peak voltages. But I would assume that if you can come up with, I think your square root of the squares works okay for RMS power. And then if all the signals had the same peak to average ratio, the same injection ratio of HD sidebands, then you could apply a factor to it. But if they're different, then it gets more complicated.
Yeah, the more stations, the more complex.
But my main comment was just that the peaks will occur frequently, and it doesn't. I don't think it has anything to do with whether the modulation's the same or lined up at all. It's completely independent of that.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Don't be shy. Great. Thank you very much.